IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. We're welcome to another episode of the program Viewpoints. I'm Ata, the host of this program. With me in the studio are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Sheikh Rouhani and Sayyid Mohsen Naghvi. Sayyid Mohsen, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the show.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thanks for inviting.
You're welcome. And Sheikh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
For today's discussion, we want to talk about the concept of hijab. Is it a protection for women or a limitation? Sayyid Mohsen, Islam believes that hijab and the concept of covering the women fully is a kind of protection for the women. But the people outside the religion of Islam, especially nowadays those who are against the hijab as an obligation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they believe that this is a kind of limitation. So first, let's give us a clear picture about the concept of hijab in Islam. What is it?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, the first thing about the hijab is something obligatory, like prayers, daily prayers, like fasting in the month of Ramadan, like Hajj, and all those obligations that we have. Chapter Nur, verse 31, clearly talks about the obligation of the hijab itself for the woman.
Sorry, chapter Nur, verse what?
31. And then it tells us about the, you know, the mahram and na-mahram. Yes. For example, like with whom you can marry, you cannot marry, and yes, in front of whom you need to cover yourself. So this is the first thing, is that it is the direct order of God, which has come in the Quran.
Okay.
There is no question about it. The way we pray five-time prayers, okay, the way we, for the men, it is said to not to look at na-mahram, okay, lower your gaze in, yes, front of them.
Okay.
Similarly, for the woman, if she wants to go out of house where, yes, there are na-mahram, she has to cover her body.
Yes.
This is the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
And this is covering the body, isn't it?
Yeah, covering the body.
Hair, yeah, and the
covering
body.
Covering the whole body, because the obviously the figures or the... the figures of the women it shouldn't,
yes,
be like,
is
you know,
short.
Yes, it's attractive, okay, for the men.
Yes.
It's not like the men become attractive for the women. We don't have this. For example,
yes, yes,
if a man cannot, get a woman impressed,
yes,
by just looking at her, by,
yes,
moving in front of,
yes, yes,
her, whereas a woman can do that.
Yes.
So these are the differences between the men and women. Obviously,
okay,
we need to know about this.
Physiologically speaking.
So the first thing is that it is a direct order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the second thing, there is obviously the hijab veil is not just for the women, it is for the men as well.
Yes.
As for example, yes, if someone goes to the street, a male, a boy, and in the street he starts staring at the people. You know, if a lady is going, she starts staring on her.
Gazing at the
man,
people.
Gazing,
yes,
yeah.
Yes.
So what would be the reaction of the people? Is it haram or it is something liable to him? Generally, people will stop him. For example,
yes,
if a boy is going with his wife, a,
yes,
guy, or in the West where non-Muslims are going with their girlfriends, if,
yes,
someone gazes at the girlfriend, what would be the reaction of the man?
A kind of qayra will show up,
yeah,
now.
So
okay,
there he will stop.
Yes.
He will say, if you want to stare, if you want to gaze, go in home, do it in private. Privately, he can do that.
Yes.
So basically, there are some things that are, when you perform it privately, it is allowed maybe for you.
That's right.
But when you go to the society, you cannot have the same, you know, action or the method of living,
yes,
the way you do in the private. Similarly, hijab, if someone does not want to do it in private, in their home, maybe in front of their cousins or father or whatever, they're in a private premises. They cannot have hijab. But when they come to the society, it becomes a social issue.
Yes. Okay.
The way a man, if he goes out and he gazes upon every single woman, they get annoyed by him.
Yes.
Similarly, this is the case.
Yes.
So this is the logical proof, the second. The first I gave the, obviously, the Islamic proof,
yes,
that it is a direct orders of Allah subhanahu wa,
yes,
ta'ala. The second is the logical proof.
That's right.
That when there is something that is affecting the society, then obviously it becomes a social issue.
That's all right. So standards of iffa and haya,
yeah.
I mean, the modesty, I mean, and also chastity also exists out of the borders of the religions of Islam and religion in general too, okay? The people have their own red lines, you know, in the society, except some these new secular, you know, nudist movements who are nowadays active in the world. That's all right. Okay, hijab is a protection for the women. There are so many movements nowadays in the world after the rights of the women, okay?
Yeah.
For example, Me Too movement or, I don't know, same payment for the women.
And, my body, my will.
Yeah, yeah. The case is that Islam gives value to the women through this protection. And we have these new movements now. At the same time, there is a contradiction. Some of these people are looking for the rights of the Muslim women too. What is the problem, Sheikh?
You know, actually, this hijab, or which is a kind of protection for women,
mm-hmm.
it is not something new. First of all, we should understand that even in the history of the West, in the history of Europe, if you go back, for example, some even one centuries and two centuries back, you see that the people of Europe, the women in Europe, they observed hijab. They had their own hijab.
Yes, yes.
Not only for one century, for thousands of years, the people in the West and the East, they had hijab. They observed this specific kind of hijab for themselves. Even if you go back to the movies of India, for example, some 50 years back, 40 years back,
you see
in their movies, they have hijab, the kind of hijab for them, for their women.
Yes.
But nowadays they changed.
Yes.
So now let's see.
You mean they covered with clothes?
Yeah, they covered their bodies.
Yeah, yeah.
So I mean, the way that they clothe themselves and the women and the, in the Indian movies for example, 4 or 5 decades back.
Yes, very good.
If you compare them with nowadays, they're totally different.
Yes.
If you compare, for example, the Chinese movies even, or the Korean movies, or the Japanese
even
movies.
Even the American movies.
Yeah, in the American movies. European movies, even if you go and see the story of, what is that, the great famous figure by Shakespeare?
Hamlet.
Hamlet, or the other dramas.
Romeo and Juliet.
Romeo and Juliet, yes, I mean, yeah? You see, in those, I mean, in their culture also, we had kind of hijab. We had women that they observe certain rules in their lives, in their lifestyles. So now something changed. As you mentioned, recently, in the recent decades, things are being changed by the people.
The liberal capital secular movement.
Now the question, the main question is this, that should we follow that thousands of years lifestyle that were established by the people and followed by the people in the course of time and the history, throughout the history? Or this change that came to our life, for example, for the last century. Mm-hmm. This is a very important question that every one of us should ask ourselves, that, okay, that lifestyle, that culture, that beliefs, that value systems were for thousands of years.
Mm-hmm.
There was a kind of mainstream that were coming. And now there is a big change in that mainstream.
Yes.
It is possible that it might return back to that mainstream later. Now, the question is that should we follow with blind eyes this new system, this new lifestyle of the Westerners?
Okay. Yes.
If, for example, 10 years, 20 years, 50 years later, if they change their mindset.
Yes.
If they again come back to this idea that, okay, hijab is true.
Yes.
Hijab is good. Those values, those principles that we followed in those thousands of years.
Yes.
So they were philosophers, they were hukama, they were prophets, they were great figures in the history. So if they finally came to this conclusion that that system was good, then we are now with blind eyes, we are following this system, these new models. What would be the response? I mean, for Muslim women, they should ask themselves, why should I follow this change?
The funny point is that even the actors and actresses in the movies, They use stunts for the naked scenes, okay? They are not themselves.
Exactly.
You know, more than 90% of the actors and actresses do not permit, for example, to be naked in front of the cameras, okay? And when they go, for example, to the ceremonies or they are invited to a talk show, again, they are covered, okay?
Hmm.
But now, what is the problem? You believe in a kind of hijab or protection, the clothing, you know, and covering yourself. Mm-hmm. But when you are in a movie for the nude pictures, You let, for example, replacement of a pornographer or something like that to do that? What is the story? You believe in a kind of chastity, at least to a minimum level too.
Yeah, of course.
But now when it comes, for example, you know, to be paid for the money or something like that.
Yeah, the last point that I wanted to add is this, that for these Muslim women who are following this lifestyle, Western lifestyle, they should, you know, we as Muslims, we believe that there are certain principles that we should be adhered to, that we should actually follow these principles. These principles are not from our own.
Yes.
They're not human-made principles.
Yes.
They are a divine kind of rules. Mm-hmm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of the whole universe, the human beings. He knows best that, okay, this hijab is best for us.
Yes.
For our women, I mean, women, Muslim women.
Okay.
So that's why we are following this principle in our lives. But these changes that the Westerners brought, let's ask ourselves, okay, these figures, these thinkers, Western philosophers, that they brought these kind of changes.
Yes.
Let's go and study that why did they change this lifestyle, really?
Yeah, yeah.
What was the main purpose? What was the main objective of them?
Yes.
That they brought women from the houses outside to the companies, to the factories, to make use of them.
Yes.
They utilized them to increase their incomes, the factories. It was the reality of the feminism in the Western. I mean, the first movement of the feminism.
They call themselves victims.
Exactly.
You know, for example, in the Me Too movement, at first it started, they called themselves sexually abused victims.
Of course.
We are the victims of rape, and we are the victims of this and that. Yeah. Just look at the movie industry. So why a woman is abused and is a victim? And how a victim, a sexual abuse, can be a role model for the young generation? This is my question, okay?
It's a very important question.
How a victim can be a role model for the whole generation. So, Sayyid Mohsen, do you believe that hijab now in this way is not a limitation, but it is giving value to the people, especially the women, isn't it?
Yes, that is true. And this is the main idea of Islam, basically. Mm-hmm. Why in today's world we see there are many people against hijab. For example, we've seen protests in the Iran against the hijab, in other countries as well. They're talking about it.
Yes.
The main idea is that, you know, some people in the past have given the idea that if you wear hijab, if you follow religion, you cannot advance.
Uh-huh.
Basically, this is a war between religion and
They call them barbaric. Old-fashioned barbaric movements.
Okay. What happened is, after the Islamic Revolution, especially I'm talking about the Iran situation that we see, after the Islamic Revolution, we see that women in hijab has become a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
She has become an engineer.
Yes.
She is a scientist.
Yes.
I don't know. She is a politician. Yes. She's an educationist. The woman in hijab has advanced in all the fields.
Yes.
Which the Western thought or the secular thought or the people who were against this hijab or the modesty of women, they said you cannot get to this position until you, you know, unveil yourself.
Yes.
You know, they wanted to use the woman as a tool.
Yes.
But here in this country, we have seen that they have reached to different levels with the, you know, those limitations, which they used to call it limitations.
Yes.
So basically, this is the difference of the ideology. That when you are following an ideology which is being said by God, which is being said by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the perfection is in there.
Yes.
So He will take you to the perfection if you follow Him, follow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if you refuse, then obviously you have all these things. Even without hijab, you have to protest for yourself, like the way you gave example of Me Too and all those things.
Yes, yes.
So basically, this is the main issue that we are following, that at the moment, Islam has challenged all other systems in the world.
Mm-hmm.
All other systems, whether it's capitalism, socialism, I don't know, in the secularism, if they're like Buddhism or these other religions, other than that atheist or any who call himself like being modern or moderate thinker. And Islam has challenged all of them.
That's right.
Islam has said, I am giving a set of life, a formula for life, which takes you to perfection, through which you can advance in this material world and in hereafter. Because they have seen Islam a real challenge, that's why they spread Islamophobia.
Yes.
That's why they're thinking against the hijab. Now, let me ask a question from those who are protesting in Iran, for example. I'm focusing on Iran because it's an Islamic country. they say that we don't want the hijab, which is, you know, forced, a forced hijab to do. Whereas it is in the law, because it's an Islamic country, there is a law that a woman who comes out of a house, she has to put a veil on.
Yes.
This is a law of a country.
Yes. Okay.
My question is from those people. When you go to France, mm-hmm. if a woman who is free, who has the freedom of choosing anything, if she decides to go out in the street with the veil, what's going to happen?
Mm-hmm. Burqa.
Burqa.
Yes.
She wants to go out.
Yes.
It's her free will.
Yes.
She's a woman. She should have a freedom.
And she is a minority.
She's in minority.
Yes.
She wants to go out in the street. What will happen? She will be arrested.
Yes, yes. Especially right? in France.
Especially in France. I'll give the example of France.
Is it freedom? Is it freedom?
So the question is, why you're allowing the France or French government to arrest this lady who went out with her freedom?
Okay.
The answer is, it's the law of the country. She has to follow the law.
Yeah.
So why don't you follow the law in the Islamic country?
Yes.
Because in the Islamic country, the law is you cannot come out without hijab.
Another good example is that one of the women who was asking for the freedom of hijab in Iran, in Netherlands, she became naked, but she was not fully naked. When they asked her why you are not fully naked, said the laws of the Netherlands does not let you to be fully naked, okay?
Hmm. So when it's about...
So at least there is a law, man, over there. Okay.
It's all about our own thinking. Like, yeah, you know, when it's about us, we don't want to accept anything,
yes.
we make lay excuses. But the point is, when you're following the law over there,
yes.
you must follow the law over here.
That's all right. Yeah.
So every country has its own law, number mm-hmm. one. We have to respect the law of each country.
Yes, yes.
Whether it's a non-Muslim country or Muslim. If it, in yes, a normal, yes. non-Muslim country, they say that you cannot slaughter a goat, a hen, a mm-hmm. chicken in your house. You must go to the slaughterhouse. Being a Muslim, I must follow the law.
That's all right.
And I must go to the slaughterhouse, get a halal meat from there, for example.
Right.
If a country has a law like not to break the red lights, I have to respect the law.
Yes, very good.
So on the first thing, when we are living in a country, we have to respect the laws of that country. That is the first thing. Because if we do not follow the laws of the country, we are creating corruption in the country. We are creating corruption and it's against the law. Obviously, then the law and enforcement has the right to take actions against me.
That's all right. Surah Nur, Ayah 31 says, "And tell the faithful women to cast down their looks and to guard their private parts and not to display their charms behind what is acceptable visible. And let them draw their scarves over their bosoms and not display their charms except to their husbands or their fathers or their husbands' fathers, to their sons, to the husband's sons or their brothers and their brothers' sons, you know, and the maharem. And at least it says, rally to Allah in repentance, O faithful, so that you may be felicitous." That's right. As you said, maybe among the usul al-din, hijab is not mentioned. Okay?
That's from the beliefs.
Beliefs. This is the beliefs. Yeah. That's right. This is, I mean, the aqaid part.
Aqaid, yes.
That's all right. And I think in one of the demonstrations in Iran, there was a funny part. In one of the demonstrations in Iran, the girls and the boys together were rallying for the, we can say, freedom of women in Iran. And all of a sudden, one of the girls was screaming. Because she was assaulted by one of the men in the rally. See? This is how, for example, the freedom of the women and nudity, I mean, in general.
They
we get it sexual abuse.
They need to learn lessons that these people are not for the freedom. This is not the freedom. You know, I bet you, in the West or in the same rally, like there are thousands of people who come out in Iran for the rally.
Yeah, yes.
Like on the Independence Day, for example.
Yes.
Those women who are coming with the hijab, no one goes near them.
No.
No one touches them.
No. Yes.
Why? Because...
You're right.
She's known as a modest lady.
Yeah.
She's known as a powerful lady.
Yeah.
So they fear going near her. They even respect the lady. But when you don't have anything on you, then obviously the things happen the way you just said.
Most of the boys who before marriage... were doing any kind of sins, when they got to the marriage, they look for modest women. They say, we want a modest wife. So what's happening now?
Yeah.
You want a modest wife because you don't want to be the victim of betrayal or cheating, something which is very much high in the Western world. Thank you very much, Sayed.
You're
it
welcome.
Was very kind of you. And Sheikh, thank you very much for your nice elaboration regarding the concept of hijab as a protection and not a limitation for women. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.com/en/call of Islam page. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanillah.
Thank you so much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Viewpoints. You can log on to our website at parstoday.com, and you can email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Until next time, goodbye. A symphony of nature. Oh, it's taking my breath away. I'm so blessed out here today.